Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Lions fans, this is the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where the Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys whose 40 times qualify them for a Matt Patricia defense. Chris and the Riz.
Hey, heidi ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 392. I am your dashing host for this official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit, Chris. And with me is my ever so elegant and eloquent co-host and good friend, Jeff the Riz Risden. How you doing, my man?
It's good to be with you, Chris. I missed you last week, buddy. I had to bail. It was all my thing. I'll take the bullet for that. It was a rough time at Casa del Risden, but all is good now, and I'm happy that the season's over. I'm happy that I get to sleep on Sundays now. My last 18-hour workday Sunday was Sunday, and I'm very happy that that's done.
That's good. My week this week is much like your week last week. Literally within 20 minutes of the Senior Bowl news dropping, there was two projects totaling a total of almost $17 million that I am responsible for that had major situations
a real job.
Pop up. And I'm like it was like all hands on. I worked last night late, got up really early, had to work. It was just like, oh my gosh, I was worried this week we wouldn't be able to get together, but things kind of worked out well. So here we are.
Yeah.
Didn't get to celebrate all the Senior Bowl announcement. I mean, we knew it was coming, but in the moment, you still want to be there to celebrate. I'm glad you covered it and did some good tweets about that. But Senior Bowl is coming. Yes, Justin, Michigan Panthers are coming. We'll talk about that at some point in the future. But
they're not playing in Michigan, which is stupid.
Yeah. We're still in Lions world right now. We'll stay there.
Yeah.
Today's show,
we will definitely be covering the Michigan Panthers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Anthony Carter, the first champions ever. I know that. Anyway, here we go. Let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. Talk about a lot of tacos in there. Taco Wednesday. Review of the Packers game. It's our last review of the 2021 season. And boy, that's going to be a fun one to do. We're going to do a little bit of a retrospective on the season through the press conferences that we had, as the Lions use those as their kind of retrospective as players are packing up lockers and stuff. They had folks roll out and coaches and Brad Holmes and all that came out and did some good press conferences. We'll talk about those. We're going to talk about our thoughts on the offensive coordinator. There's a little Chris dust.
There's been a change.
little stuff. We had another topic. We're going to move that to next week. We got a lot to cover. I think between now and the Senior Bowl, every show is going to be just to the wall with information. Yeah. But we're going to do a quick preview of the Senior Bowl. We're going to talk about it's like the meta setup of the Senior Bowl. And then next week, we're going to start getting into some of the prospects themselves, the players themselves. There was a really good one. Gosh, where was it? I've lost it. I'll have to find it. But there was some. Anyway, we'll get to the question next week. It'll be a good one. We got a lot of stuff coming up with the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about that today. A whole lot more. Great show lined up. Riz, let's just get going, okay?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. Do
okay.
it. Do
it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Always helps to hit the right button, but, you know, you just don't always do it.
It does. Sometimes you get the that's bullshit button.
That's bullshit.
Yes, you do.
I love that guy.
He is one of my favorite all-time callers. He was spectacular.
I can't believe it's real.
Yeah, I know. All right. I recognize in the post-game show we made a promise to you guys. and things changed, and I need to own the fact that we weren't able to keep the promise, because it's something we really, really hold our integrity and our word very highly. It's why when we report things, we tell you we're speculating, or we tell you it is, pay attention, right? I had a college professor, and the notes were literally the script for the test. And he had this, I don't know if, I know it wasn't a tick. I know he did it on purpose, but he would always say, a person might want to know, and then literally say the line that was exactly on the test as that, right? Yep. We kind of do a little bit of, a person might want to know, like when we're talking about things that not only are on the test, but we kind of know from the folks that we talk
to. pay attention to the context clues, folks, because if you read between some lines, you'll find some nice little dust between those lines that you can snort up and be happy with.
So Jerry can't join us this week. No dust here, other than he's getting surgery tomorrow. He's doing prep for surgery tonight. So he's going to be busy doing all that. And look, it's not fair to put someone in the day before they're going to go under. So
we wish Jerry well. He's still a wonderful friend to the podcast. He will be back once he's capable of doing it.
Absolutely.
And we wish him well. Get well soon, Jerry. We're pulling for you still. Yep.
Yeah, he apologized and said, don't worry, I will be on soon. It was just like when he had to study the playbook before that preseason game because they were giving him the new stuff. He's like, I'm sorry, guys, I got
to
do it.
They moved my position.
it's the busy life of a guy in the offseason who has an injury, right? It's no problem, bro.
Yeah,
no
problem. I'm fascinated to ask him about like what he expects with an offseason now that he's quote unquote made it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and that's because remember the last time we talked to him was at when he had made the 53, and then the season happened, and not only did he make the 53, but he was able to really kind of kick off and do the magic, and then the injury. And I think talking about all that greatness and then talking about, you know, his sense of what happened with the things that you don't see. He leaves the field. Nobody knows until they hear what the official diagnosis is. And you're like, ah, darn. And then you're like, oh, what's that mean? None of the human side of it. No one ever reports on that or talks about that. And that's what we're going to talk about with Jerry. So we'll have some really good stuff. Take it just for a second for me, Jeff. I got to look at something.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah, so we'll get back with him. We do have other guests coming up that will help you preview the Senior Bowl at some point. You'll want to be paying attention next week. By the way, if you're looking for more like drafty stuff, I'm actually, as soon as this is done, I'm appearing on the Draft Countdown podcast with my friends Brian and Shane tonight. If you want to go over to that, check that out. But yeah, the injury thing and the humanity behind the players that are injured, that's something that I don't think gets talked about enough. And it's something that the more I've gotten to know players and agents over the time, the more it really bothers me when a guy gets hurt and knowing that their dream could be dying. So we're going to talk with Jerry about that for sure. Yeah. We're going to wrap the Packers game. In fact, I will start the ball rolling here on what's going on with the Packers week 18. We won. It was great to win. It feels so nice to win the last game, and I don't care that Aaron Rodgers didn't play the second half, because you know what? He played the first half, and we won that half, too. Who was on the field for the Lions? Not Penei Sewell. Evan Brown barely played. Hockenson not out there. You know, so many regulars for the Lions were not out there. Obviously, they don't equate to Aaron Rodgers. He's a likely MVP. But the all these people that are saying, oh, you beat the Packers scrubs, like, who do you think was playing for Detroit, you know?
That's the real big thing. Like, nobody seems to understand.
They had their starting secondary out there deep into that game. Like, they had guys that you'll be seeing a lot of this, or not this weekend, but next weekend when they're playing whoever they play. You're gonna see a lot of those guys that were on the field at the end of that game. In that game, like it wasn't like they brought up their practice squad to play the Lions. Like they were going at that. You can't tell me that Aaron Rodgers, if he's in a game, that he's not trying to win. So, right. I was very impressed with the creativity, let it all hang out, baby. You know, last game of the season, empty the playbook, empty Tom Kennedy throwing a pass. You got all kinds of stuff. You got A.J. Parker getting a blitz out of the slot, which was something that we hadn't really seen much of all season. There was just a lot of really good, fun football that teases at what bigger and better things this team can do when they have bigger and better players next year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I loved, look, FTP. Yeah, you know me. There we go. That's the mantra. That's what we, that's how we, what we work against. Anytime you're able to take a team of what was it, game four, basically, where we were all backups, right? We were all second stringers. And it got worse as the season went on. I don't really want to hear anything. First half was their starters that remained for this year. Yep. First half was also the walking wounded that we had on our team. What was the result? We beat them. We beat them pretty soundly, too. They decided not to play their guys in the last half. That's great. I love what this does to them going to the playoffs as far as their confidence. They expected to come in, go up four touchdowns, and then come out the other side, put their guys on rest, and have, you know, rust versus rest, be going in with a good feeling. That didn't happen. The Lions did not allow that to happen. It was spectacular. Amon-Ra St. Brown stepped up and said, that ain't happening. You guys ain't doing that. Coach Campbell and Ben Johnson's play calling and the fakes. I want to talk to you a little bit about this. One of the things I thought about the difference between like a misdirection and a trick play, right? There's there's a nuance to them, I guess, but they're similar. I think Dan Campbell looks at this playbook a lot differently than other coaches did. I referred to the old Bengals, you know, it was all gadget plays. It was all, you know, trickeration and tomfoolery. To use some silly words, it wasn't really an honest playbook. You know what I mean?
22 here.
Stand back, man. Stand back. The news is coming through. It was like a meme almost, that playbook for the Bengals. Whereas Dan Campbell has a playbook. Every playbook has these kind of quote unquote trick plays in them, right? They exist everywhere. Mm-hmm. But Campbell just looks at the whole playbook and says, what's the play that's going to get me one right now? He doesn't say, let me pull out a trick play out of my magic hat. It's just part of the playbook. He utilizes every aspect of the playbook to get the advantage in the moment that he has. I don't think that it's like the memes of the Bengals playbook. It's a real playbook. He just uses the whole thing. I think this is different, and I think it's good and special.
I like how he and Amon-Ra talked about how they've used what he's done in the past, running the ball on those jet sweeps, to set up that play too. Like, they know that the defense is going to key on him doing what he's doing. Like, oh, well, alert, 14's getting the ball. Well, that ain't what happened. and you know, that Kennedy goes off the other side and has a wide open Khalif Raymond streaking down the field. And if you get a chance to watch the All-22, which, by the way, is broken right now. Thank you, NFL. Fix your damn product, please.
So glad I spent $99 bucks on that.
Yeah. But if you look at the reverse angle, you can see the collective oh bleep moment from everybody in the Packers secondary. Like, oh, he doesn't have the ball. And the fact that they set that up, you know, I love Myles Garrett. One of the things that Myles Garrett talks about all the time is that he will use like three or four plays early in the game to set up a specific move for later in the game when he really needs to unleash it. Yep. That's smart. That's using your head. A lot of guys have done. Dwight Freeney used to do that. He was a master at that. One time Lion, Dwight Freeney, by the way, didn't work out so well.
It was a different Dwight Freeney than was in the league before.
Just a bit, but that concept of doing something to set something up bigger for later, like that's more big brained coaching than just flying by the seat of your pants. Yep. Like I've seen coaches that do that. I covered Freddie Kitchens, a guy who didn't really have a game plan. I've seen Adam Gase. In action, I've seen bad coaches, man. Rob Chudzinski trying to do the same play on every first down in every game.
Have you ever seen anyone like with a goal line formation from their own three on third and nine?
Second and nine too. And then he defended it afterwards. Just like, that's our best play in the book.
No one would have expected it on fourth down.
Oh my god. The Giants. Can we just say that as bad as the Lions' record was, 3-13-1, the New York Football Giants were absolutely the worst team in the NFL over the last month and a half. The Baltimore Ravens were close to them too. They were by the only way the only teams that lost their last six games. Every other team has at least one win in that time period, except the Giants and the Ravens, of all people. But yeah, this is one of the reasons why I defend Dan Campbell, because you saw a Giants team that quit. And when your coach calls a quarterback sneak and you're on three on second and nine, he quit on you. That didn't happen in Detroit. This team got better. They pulled together, even with all the injuries, with all the roster attrition, with the COVID situations that they had. They went out and they kept fighting. They got better. You saw players get better that didn't play a lot earlier in the year that played at the end of the season. I love seeing Anthony Funwu come in and get some run at the end of the year. I like seeing AJ Parker come back. Like that. These are things. And it was something, not to jump ahead, but it's something that Holmes talked about in his press conference that he had yesterday, where he talked about Dan came to me and said, let's just let these play these guys. And I love that. Like that, and Holmes was like, yeah, like we could have gone out and signed a bunch of, you know, the Danny Amendolas of the world. We didn't do that. We played our guys for better or for worse because we're going to be better for it in the long term. That got those guys, that sold those guys out. They could have got onside Adrian Peterson again, and we never would have seen Craig Reynolds and what he can do,
yeah,
and things like that. And that to me is why, yes, it was a 3-13-1 season, and yes, the 0-10-1 part really sucked. And there were some bad, some of the worst Lions games I've ever seen. But the way they ended and the way that they stuck to a plan, they didn't panic, they didn't deviate. To me, the final wins like that, that's the karmic retribution for doing things the right way and sticking to it.
That is the
Tommy Lee in the house.
That is the magic of that. Absolutely, there we go. I wasn't able to hear that. I had to fix that. Really quick, there's a guy out there. And this is Radio for One, but we got to help everyone. Guy Pat on Twitter just tweeted that he's getting video unavailable. Can the folks in the chat, someone go to the Twitter and help him find his way in? All right. Yeah, no, this absolutely
it's up on the phone here. So we're
yeah. Live. We've got a bunch of people in the. In viewing, so Pat's just having problems. We want to help our friends. All right, let's see. So we've got all this going on. The first 10 games were absolutely terrifying. You saw it. There was close wins against the Ravens. There was the first half against the Packers in that first game at Lambeau. There was the close game against Minnesota that ended. You could see that it was there, but you weren't getting the results. And, yep. You know, I was thinking about, and I was starting to get concerned because we talked about before the season enough that this is not going to be a many win team this year, but it's definitely going to be a lot more fun than the one prior. And one of the things that, was for me concerning was what was going on mainly in the fan base, really, because I wasn't super concerned about what was happening on the field. I knew why it wasn't working, right? The whole Goff thing early in the season, we talked about it in the post game show after the Packers. All you people who were out on Goff and fire Goff and get rid of Goff can kind of swallow that back and eat your crow, because it wasn't Goff. It was a guy with no weapons, as we said. And I'm going to reference this again for the folks that weren't in the room last time when we talked about this. Herman Moore put out a great video, LionsNationUnite.com. Check it out. Great app for fans.
Go there.
Great
place to get go. Get it on your phone. You'll want it. You'll need it.
It's really fun. It's a really good place.
We'll need it. We got some cool stuff coming there, too. But,
yes, we do. Herman put out a video, and it was about right when the heat of fire Goff was going on. He's like, you don't get rid of Goff. This isn't the Goff thing. You can tell he doesn't trust the receivers. The receivers are not delivering. He can't believe in what they're doing. What we've also learned, a person may want to know, that we had a bunch of plays that were called that were only to Swift or only to Hockenson because the offensive coordinator didn't believe anybody else could make the move. Now, I've got other stuff I can't talk about the offensive coordinator. That was an amicable parting. There was something there. I don't know if it was because he went from head coach and he didn't appreciate the downgrade. I don't know, but there was stuff going on that never, ever made it out. And I'm glad it didn't, because we don't need all the drama and stuff. But there was a lot going on. He was, and folks in the Slack know it. Folks, you know, if you listen to the show close enough, you knew. We knew he wasn't doing anything anymore after, you know, before the bye, when the bye week hit. The first thing
honestly,
that happened.
Dan coming out and saying that he was working as the offensive coordinator and was keeping that role until the end of the season. If that didn't tell you that Anthony Lynn not only wasn't going to be coming back, but also wasn't really involved anymore in anything other than coaching the running backs. Remember, he made his living as a coach, as a running backs coach. He was an NFL running back once upon a time. You know, that's about all he really offered. He was up in the booth. He never really had any inkling to come down from there. And that's, you know, look, he's a good coach. And I like the way that Dan Campbell explained it. It's basically like, you know what? It just didn't work. We tried. We wanted to. We realized pretty quickly that it wasn't going to work. And, you know, it happened. You know, they did the classy thing. They let him finish the season. They didn't fire him mid-year. It wasn't a Joe Brady, you know, I've got to go back to college because I can't stand the NFL situation that happened in Carolina. You know, there wasn't anything like that.
Because they're friends and they respect each other and they treat each other with respect. It was a bad fit. Now, I will tell you, there's stories. I can tell you stories from in the rooms of what was going on. And it's like, my man's not here, right? He's here physically, but he's just not here. And he knows he's not. And that's that. Okay. That changed. We knew it. We told you about it. But the thing is, Goff didn't have the people he needed. Now, we see some changes in the Packers game. We're still kind of talking about that. We'll talk about some of these other things some more. You get some weapons on the field. You just found your backup quarterback. I mean, Tom Kennedy with his 158.3 QBR. Let's talk about that, right? Now, here's what I love about it. Two things. I mean,
Jack Fox could be, too, if Igwe Wolfe could catch the ball.
His quarterback rating was like 39. I was really disappointed in his performance.
It was.
Tells you what quarterback rating means.
When you go 0-1.
Yeah. Tells you what that means, right? Mm-hmm. But seriously, that was a great call. I loved it. What I loved about it is they ran the play during the week and they had another wide receiver who they didn't name, which is important, I think, as well. But
I know who it is.
They threw a duck. threw a duck, couldn't get it out there. So they found, Tom can do it. Tom went out there and threw he was throwing a better ball than Goff early.
Let's just say that it's a good thing that Khalif can catch.
Yeah, yeah. Oof. So you got your backup quarterback set for next year. No, not really. But that was great to see that. Jonah Jackson, moving him to center.
I loved it.
You know what? When the center went down, the very first play, I tend to do that. I think I know a lot of people do. Somebody's down. You know the other team's going to attack there. What happens? He got blown up.
Dean Lowry walked Ryan McCollum backwards like a forklift driver.
And Ryan's a good kid. Ryan's not a bad player. Ryan's young, has growth ahead of him, has things to do. He's not a cast aside guy, right? You put a UDFA, right?
You bring that guy back next year. Yeah.
He just got blown up. And so I'm just going to, this wasn't Dan Campbell's call to put Jonah in at center. Dan Campbell listens to his coaches, which maybe someone else who's calling plays didn't. Dan Campbell's listens to his coaches and says, okay, you tell me we're going to do that. We'll do that. And Jonah shows up and he steps up in that role. Mm-hmm. Great, great. Love to see Jonah Jackson step in and be able to do that. A guy that if you'd have asked 2 weeks ago, hey, we got Jonah Jackson at center. The media, the Twitter media, Twitter and media. You know, it would have been one of those things. Who's in charge? Is Ron Wood making personnel decisions? The whole thing, right? The same thing, the not understanding what's going on.
So and just reacting.
God, yeah. So great stuff there. Now, I want to talk about Jared Goff because that's where this whole started, this whole kind of rambly being things started. No, because we got some really good data on him. And this is the thing.
We do.
Thank you, Wisco, in the Slack. You know, this is. And Slack people, you know, I love you, and this isn't the case, but they make this assessment. They say, oh, yeah, Chris was here so we can crowdsource his Twitter. Look at this. We pay this guy money so that we can give him information. They pay me money so that they can do research for me. This is the best group of people ever, right? I love you all. Trust me, I mean it. But this is stuff people do.
Me having a social media intern. I love it.
This is stuff that people do, though, right, on their own. And it winds up that, wow, this is great stuff. And they share it on Reddit or somewhere else, and most people don't listen. But here it gives them an outlet for this. Because Wisco, this was a really, really great analysis. And I want to share this.
It's really good.
This goes to what I talked about early in the season. All right. Jared Goff needs weapons. Okay. He needs weapons and you guys are judging him and he doesn't have them. Now, there's the difference this season in Jared Goff when he had Cephas or Reynolds, when those two played 50% or more of the snaps. That was 9 games that happened. Okay. Jared Goff without Cephas or Reynolds for 50% of the snaps, there's 5 games in which that happened. Okay. So that's what we're caring. We're talking about. I'm just going to call it with and without. Okay. So with a little bit of talent and without any talent. I don't want to say without any, but
you sound like the optometrist. A or B.
So with
or two,
70.3% completion rate, without 63.4%, with 248 yards a game, without 202. Now here's where it gets interesting. With 2 touchdowns per game, without 0.2 touchdowns per game, with 0.44 interceptions per game, without 0.8 interceptions per game, double, with 104.13 passer rate, without 72.1 passer rate.
That's Zach Wilson.
With 7.8 air yards per attempt, without,
that's solid,
4.9 air yards per attempt. All that's the
things,
oh, he's checking out all the, you know, he doesn't look at the lead receiver. It's all about the other talent that is on the field with Jared Goff. Now, is that in a vacuum? You know, you can look at those things and say, oh, it's about the talent. The talent is key, right? Because then what happens? Jared Goff has confidence. Jared Goff is a very, very much confidence. He needs confidence in what he's doing.
He's a guy that needs that fluffing.
Yeah, And Dan Campbell will do that. Dan Campbell is like the best dad coach you'll ever have growing up. He'll tell you when you're not doing it right. He'll give you the correcting action, but he will praise you when you're doing things well. And that's what he's given. And that's what Jared Goff needs. Jared Goff is looking for that kind of feedback about how he works. Sean McVay is a tear you down kind of person. I don't know.
And they don't have the good cop on that staff either.
So Goff comes tossed aside, beaten down. By surprise, he's traded away, and he comes in, and he has no yards. He was a tough guy. He was in a tough situation, and absolutely, Mike, in the chat, his attitude throughout this whole thing has been exemplary. And I want to, again, there's one other thing I want to call people out on. Jared Goff, after the Ravens game, said the gut punches will stop. He didn't say they're going to stop tomorrow. He said they're going to stop. And people made fun of him, all the way down to Torrey Petrie, called him a sweet summer child on Twitter. Right. And that's how much that Torrey believes in what's going on. But a lot of people gave him crap. Now, I want you to look back at the season since the Ravens game and what happened and what you saw and tell me that this isn't a team that can help make those gut punches stop. And that Jared Goff could be the guy to do that. He's got the right stuff around him. He needs a wide receiver or two. We're going to get that. If he gets a top shelf wide receiver, I think that pushes all the other receivers to where they need to be. He gets 2 wide receivers. All of a sudden, we've got he's tearing it up. I really believe that's the what we're looking at with this team. But he's got the situation he needs. We have a coaching staff that absolutely got everything out of these guys all to the last game. Has anybody ever seen a Lions team that broken and battered and hospitalized perform with that much heart in the last game of the season that was meaningless?
That was something else. That was really cool to see. And I'll say this. I think the Packers respected it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you know what? These guys, they're here to play. Let's play, boys. Let's go. Let's see what they got. Yep. Let's see if we can beat them down. And it didn't happen.
No.
So some of that is because Jordan Love sucks.
I have something just for a moment. A quick throwback. Where is it? This is a throwback to the draft when the Green Bay Packers traded up and then they drafted. That was my reaction. That was my reaction to Jordan Love's draft. Oh, absolutely. That was a great draft party. It was excellent. It was great that we could come in, and that's the cake from the
nice cake.
That's from the suite at Ford Field. They've made that at Ford Field for us.
That's beautiful. That's you got to give the Lions I know people like to bag on the team. The guys who work, the employees, like the media relations and the the suite attendants, the coordinators with the season ticket people and things like that. They're really good. They're really good at their jobs. They make you feel like you're a champion, even though the product on the field isn't always close to it.
Yeah. I love the Lions social media team. They do great work. Yeah. Brandon, I feel terribly guilty now dumping on Goff to any of you guys, Chris. I didn't dump on him. That's the thing. I knew there was what was under there. I knew it.
So my take on it is still, if you've got to have really good weapons around him to make it work, I want somebody better. That doesn't mean that I want him next year, but I want them to be looking for somebody who doesn't have to have Amon-Ra St. Brown be the third best wide receiver on his team for the team to win 10 games. I want a quarterback that's better than that. And I still don't think Jared Goff is there. Did I like what I saw down the stretch? Absolutely. Did he play better? Yeah. Hell yeah, he did. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he did trust it. I think one of the things that they talked about coming out of the bye week was that we're going to have better attention to detail in everything on the offense. It was Amon-Ra running the route exactly when and where it needed to be. It was the tight ends chipping and holding for just a count before they get out there and release into that route to sell it, so they have a little bit more space on the linebacker, and the linebacker sucks in a little bit more, and it creates the better spacing and throwing lanes. Didn't do that early in the season. They did that after the bye.
Let me ask you, and I'm honest opinion, and these we'll say at their peaks. Jared Goff at his peak or Nick Foles? Who do you want?
They're the same to me, honestly. They're like the same dude.
Joe Flacco.
I don't like Flacco. Well, Flacco gets the underthrown bomb. right now, at his peak, Flacco maybe, because Flacco had balls the size of cannonballs, man. I respect that.
Trent Dilfer?
But... Dilfer wouldn't even take himself over.
Right. There's a lot of good or worse quarterbacks that have won a Super Bowl.
Right. He's in the status where, like, Kirk Cousins is to me.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield's in that group. I think Matt Ryan's in that group. I think Matt Ryan elevates a little bit above that, but in general, that's the company that he keeps. And if I'm building a team, I do want somebody who's better than that. I want Joe Burrow. I want, I want Aaron Rodgers. I want Kyler Murray. I want Russell Wilson. I want somebody like that, that I know Deshaun Watson, if he ever passes the NFL sniff test, and we don't know. We'll learn that in mid-February, hopefully. But yeah, that's like, if you don't have that guy, then you have to have somebody like Goff. And he's perfectly fine in the middle of that tier of guys that, like, okay, if you have two or three really good wide receivers, a good run game, a good offensive line, and a defense that can force turnovers, he can win a lot of games for you. But I want a quarterback who can win, who can be the reason why I'm winning in the long term. And I think they still need to be looking for that. And I don't think Jared Goff is that. And I don't want them to settle for trying to add pieces all the time. We got to go get another premium receiver because, well, this guy got hurt, or, Amon-Ra, he had a sophomore slump or something like that. Or Hockenson, he's going to chase the money. He doesn't want to be in Detroit. He's going to go get his free agency. You can't do that. That's a very difficult knife to live on the edge of. I would much rather have the quarterback who can make things easier and make people around him better than having everybody around him be better to make the quarterback better, if that makes sense.
No. And what my point is, we had Matthew Stafford, who I would argue is one of the best quarterbacks or better quarterbacks in the league, and all we did is wind up drafting 10th or 12th all the time. I would much rather, and we're not in the case right now with Goff's contract, a murder sentence, but I would rather have a full team of players. Because the other side of it is, look, I understand the importance of the quarterback position. I don't want to downplay it at all, right? But if you put everything on your quarterback, there's no way a backup can win you a game. because you have no other talent around there. I think there's an issue of depth. Again, I'm not standing here advocating the two quarterback system. I think it's still an intriguing economics kind
of. You're Matt Rhule.
It's an economics kind of problem that I'd like to kind of work out. I'm not advocating that, but you definitely, like when Sean Hill was here, right? You could win games with him as your backup.
Yes, you could.
And you had talent around him, right? I don't think he does any better than Jared Goff, potentially worse at his best as a backup, right? With this team this year. So I think Jared Goff, you can win with him. Is he the long-term answer? I'll evaluate more after last year. My sense, my feeling, my heart says probably not. My brain says probably not. My heart says I wish he would be, because he seems like such a really good cat. And he put up with a lot of crap this year. I just kind of, in my heart, I feel like the guy needs a little love, you know?
He did so much behind the scenes. And you do hear about some of the charitable stuff that he does, but like he's a really, really good teammate. Yeah. And you'll hear that. You'll hear more about that this offseason. Yep. Because when dudes start doing podcasts like this and things like that about just how good of a teammate he is not a rah-rah leader either. He's different. He's a different leader than Stafford is. Mm-hmm. Like Stafford had that like intensity, like ride or die with me.
Stafford got a lot of crap for not being a leader for a long time, though. He did.
It was misguided because there were a lot of people that could never get past the stat Padford thing, and yep, that he had a punchable frat boy punch me face, and
punchablefaces.com.
It was 2011 for these people until it was 2019, and then it was too late to change their minds, and they made too much. They dug themselves into the trench on that. That's one of the things I'm trying not to do with Goff here, because I do want to give him some of the benefit of the doubt that it was not an optimal situation that he came into.
The numbers are certainly in his favor in that sense.
The numbers that you rattled off that he had when he had Reynolds or Cephas, and by the way, what do those guys have in common? They're big guys who work down the field. Yeah. So if you're looking for a receiver this offseason, look for big guys, 6'2" or above, who work down the field. And they don't have to be like, neither one of those guys is fast. Right. But they're good at getting open down the field in that 15 to 25 yard range, which is about where Goff's efficiency ends. Like if you're asking Jared Goff to throw, 40 yard post patterns all the time, that's not what he does. He's not good at that. But if he can pick apart, especially if it's like cover three, mm-hmm, he can pick that apart if he knows where his receivers are going to be and trusts that they're going to be there.
But
and
let's not cross over.
Fiddle Spark did that. Reynolds did that. You saw Amon-Ra's dedication do that. I think you saw Hockenson before he got hurt at the end of the season was much better at being when he needed to be where. And that's what they talked about a lot in that bye week. That's when Ben Johnson stepped up and took a more integral role into the offensive scheme. That's when Dan Campbell took over, got more input from his players on what was working and what was not. That, by the way, is why Quandre Diggs is in Seattle, because he tried to do that to Matt Patricia, and Matt Patricia's like, fuck you, go to Seattle. That may or may not be an exact quote.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That's one other reason why I'm encouraged, because if Quandre Diggs did what he did that got him exiled from Detroit, if he did that with this team, they'd make him a captain and they would trust his input and they would have him out there and like try it and see like, okay, let's workshop this. Let's see if you believe in this and you feel strongly enough about it, these players, they're your teammates. And like, you're selling some of them, you're selling some of them down the river. That's okay, because you're trying to get the team better. Like Patricia took that as an affront to his coaching.
That's
not what Dan Campbell does.
And you talk about Goff downfield and we talk about Stafford downfield. Stafford did a good job downfield. But there was also the other thing about Stafford that people are kind of whistling past the graveyard on until this year, because he's about to crack the record if he hasn't already. Dave says the last five games of Stafford, he didn't play a whole lot better than Goff. He is a different quarterback.
No, they're
completely different styles. But the record that he has, and this is the win murdering number. This is the one that if you ever want to try to tie quarterback win stats or make quarterback wins an actual stat, look at those pick sixes, man. Look at those pick sixes, because that is a quarterback loss. when you throw in those things are, I mean, the numbers, I don't have them. Don't have them. I'm putting it together. I know someone will and will fact check me on this. They always do.
Well, look at the one that he threw this past week. Like, my God, that's an awful throw. Yep. He made a couple of like what the hell, dude?
It's like, interesting. Like Goff is way better, or Safford is way better downfield, but I feel like that 10 to 15 yard range, Goff might be better than Matthew Stafford. Again, have no numbers to back it up, but just from what we're seeing, you know, recency bias, that kind of thing, I'm like, God, he did not look good at all there. So
that was rough. Yeah. I'm fascinated actually at how the playoffs are going to go for them.
I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited.
I am still rooting for him to get one win. I want him to get one. Beyond that, I really don't care. I don't. But I do want to see him get one just to shut people up, because those people need to be shut up.
I'm in two camps on this at the same time. Again, heart and mind kind of a thing. I don't know. On one hand, I kind of feel like it would be hilarious. I would love that he didn't win a single game in the playoffs to say, so you can say, he was surrounded by superstars. It wasn't the Lions.
It wasn't right? the Lions.
Right. So there's that side of me. The other side of me.
I don't want that for him.
I know. The other side of me, though. Right. And I'm conflicted. It's like Two-Face here and Heat Miser and Freeze Miser fighting each other. Right. The other side of me says I want him to go all the way. You know what I mean? I love the guy to death. So it's hard. It is what it is. But we'll go on from there. So,
yeah.
Good game against the Packers, 37-30. It was real. Don't let him downplay it. Don't let him talk you down. Don't let him neg you. Don't let them gaslight you that it wasn't real. That was real. And the only one that, you know, the gaslighting, they're just trying to make themselves feel better. And
there are so many people who the want
right
the team
now.
To suck
yeah.
and want them to continue to suck.
Yeah.
Go root for somebody else.
Yep,
like, yeah. You're not tied by geographic binds to your hometown. Yeah. I grew up in Cleveland. I'm not a Browns fan. Like, my kids grew up in Michigan. They're not Lions fans.
Neither one of those are like super surprising if you look at the teams, though.
Well, fair enough. I chose the Lions. Damn
I grew
it,
up in stupid. Green Bay, and I'm not a Green Bay fan. That's surprising to me, right?
Yeah. Like, I've never understood the blind. Like, if they make you crazy, if they make you hate football, like, maybe root for another team. Like, Don't bandwagon jump and like, oh, the Cowboys, they look good this year. I'll ride with them. And oh, next year, oh, the Chiefs look good again. I think I'll be a Chiefs fan now. Don't be that guy. Like
it doesn't bother me that much. Actually, it's just like, okay, cool. You're selling merchandise. You feel good. You love the football. That's fine.
I hate bandwagon people. I really do.
Now, this isn't going to go over well. I the super fan thing, how it's taken off. I mean, I told you early this season, there was the dude at training camp. I've got my seat. I'm always in the same seat every year at training camp. It's the one I always sit in at top row on an aisle.
Yep.
Across me, yep. One of the super fans, the wigs, the chains, the whole, you know, the WWE belt, the whole thing, right? Sits down. He's sitting there and he says, now number 16, that's Jared Goff, right? I'm like, wait a minute. How much did you spend on this clown suit? And you're standing there telling me you don't know what number the quarterback is. Shouldn't you bit about football and the team before you go spend the money?
To be fair, there's a very prominent beat writer in Cleveland who did not know who the starting quarterback was on the eighth day of training camp.
Fair.
I had to tell her that. there's your clue for who that is.
Well, there's not a lot of people giving her a whole lot of love, but yeah. So look, and there's a lot of great people out there that have a lot of fun. Crackman's hilarious, right? Mike Banks, right? He's out there, by the way. He's in shooting for Ford Hall of Fans this year. You can vote every day. Go vote for the guy. He's
seriously,
a meaningful cat.
I don't have a problem with the super fan. If you're into it, my friend Matt, he's the Colts guy who dresses up in the blue suit with the, he dyes his beard blue at the draft every year. I love the guy. You know, that's his like way of release. It's fun for him.
I liked it better though.
I'm not that person. I'm not a face painter. I'm not a body painter. That's just not what I do. I'm not that passionate about anything in life, really.
I got it. Let me hit this real because this is the thing on that. The face painting thing was huge. Remember up in the 80s, it started getting bigger and bigger. And it instead of being unique, it became a a club, and then it became like over, like almost too much. And then Seinfeld made fun of it, and they went away almost overnight, right? Face paint.
Devils! Devils! That was great.
And but what I'm seeing now is this is kind of like that bandwagon you were talking about. All of a sudden now people are dying for attention. I don't know what it is. They're suddenly showing up in the costumes and doing this big thing. I love, it's like fun, I said, though. Crackman it's and fun. Those guys. But I mean, at what point does it not become unique anymore? And it's just like you're following a trend. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, that it was great when it was unique, when you had the guys like Crackman was identifiable. He was always either, well, he was either Facebook live and from his hot tub, or he was at the game in his overalls and had the guys in his painted bus and the whole thing. And you knew, right? Now there's this kind of sea of face painters out there, lack of a better term, that kind of take away from some, you've got the guy who doesn't know what number the quarterback is all dressed up versus somebody like Banks or Crackman who are out there who like have done this for a long time that are really into the team. And really it's a super passion.
They like know Jared Goff's completion percentage to every single player and like what range on the field.
It's a
like,
passion rather than a Halloween costume. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, the difference to me. So I don't know. It's a thing, but whatever. Okay.
If it feels better to you know, paint stuff on your chest and, you know, get a tattoo on your neck.
Go
for do it, man. Do whatever, man. But
do it because it's you, not because it's some for attention.
Yeah, other people. Yes, doing. Exactly. Do it because you want to, not because you feel pressure from whoever to like. Oh, I really like that guy's, you know, duct tape suit.
WWE, but everyone's got the chains and the beads. It's like, change it up. Be unique. Do something different. I love the one thing. And Riz knows I can go on a rant on the people that will do something and. Another show or shows will just do the same thing. There's no innovation. No. Like, we're going to be better. We're just going to follow like a line of horses sniffing the ass of the horse in front of us. Right. Oh, they did it. No, we have to do it. No one innovates. I mean, we do it for a hobby. These people do it for a business, for life, for making a living, and they can't innovate something new. It really makes me mad. You're one of those guys, the guys that dress up and go to the game and do the super fan thing. Great. Do something different. Skip the chains. Change it up. Banks has the big bling boot up thing going on, right? Do something unique to you. Don't just jump on the train and be the same. There, that's it.
I'll throw a suggestion out there. Speedo guy.
Ooh, God, that would be fun. That would be fun in December in Green Bay.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about offensive coordinator. I know a lot of people are interested in that topic. Well, before I do, check out this. These. Oh, I got to go back here. So, or maybe I can get
Facebook. Focus.
There we are.
Oh, hey.
Playing like cards. That. This whole set
very nice.
Of killer cards, my friend. They're real, like, there we go.
Wow.
Good graphic. They're available coming in just a few days at turnlenspodcast.com/store.
It's Ace of Spades in my head.
I got it right here for you, brother. That's my favorite card. That is my calling card.
The Ace of Spades. Rest in peace, Lemmy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Great poker cards. It's poker season. Get your friends out there. Check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. You can get some killer shirts right now. The jersey shirt is out there. I got to get the rest out there. They're really, really awesome. Comfy as hell. I'm going to have some long sleeve comfy shirts out there, and we're moving all the stock from the shirts we had, the heavier tees, to the more comfy soft tees here in the next 2 weeks. So get into those. Those are a lot of fun. DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. Some really cool. And the suitcase, if you're looking for a carry-on bag, I'm telling you, everybody that's gotten one has been just raving about the quality.
It's so nice. My kids were admiring it the other day because it's sitting in my bedroom right now. They're like, yeah, that's a sweet case, man. Yeah. That's pretty. Thanks, man.
Yeah, cool. It's good. It's stuff.
Cool. I'm looking forward to using it when I go to Mobile.
Yeah, me too. All right. Let's talk about offensive coordinator. Because this is just offensive. And I just want to reiterate, I was 100% right about Anthony Lynn. And people say, well, is he going to be here at the end of the year? I was like, no, he's not. If you go back to the shows, I was very clear. No. A person might want to know. I said no.
So the big question now is, who comes next? What's next? Are they going to keep the end of season status quo with new job titles for people, or are they going to have a
somebody told
it's us. Weird to say that they're going to have a search, because I don't think that they're going. And one of the things, and I put this out on Twitter, I would like to see them at least interview somebody that has no ties to these people so they can come in and evaluate the offense with a fresh set of eyes and offer ideas on what they might do and things like yeah. You know, shuffle the deck a little bit, like see what you got. You know, like what do other people see in what you've got? You know, there's no harm in finding that out if they want to interview somebody that, you know, that Campbell worked with in Miami or the
interview people
that,
he hasn't, you know,
Brad Holmes had in Los Angeles. I don't see any harm in that at all. Do I think that that's going to happen? Doubtful. Do I think they know who's already got the job? Yes. And I think you can elaborate further on that if you wish.
Yeah, I will. I think take people Campbell doesn't know, nobody knows, bring them all in and get their evaluation. It's always good to have more information.
That's a Pat Kerwin thing, by the way. PK, who we will see down in Mobile, was very big on interviewing people just to get their ideas on what they think of your team. And react to that. Mm-hmm. And that getting that outside perspective, it breaks the cycle of yes men. It breaks the cycle of staring in the mirror all the time. I think that's a very healthy way to run your organization. And I hope that the Lions don't get too insulated in what they've got and their relative success at the end of the season. That's why it gave me great joy that Brad Holmes admitted at the end of the season, we only had 3 wins and that ain't good enough. I'm glad he acknowledged that and hammered that point home because it ain't good enough.
It is definitely reminiscent of 9-7, but it was a different number for sure. All right. So on the offensive coordinator, here it is. I told you guys that this was the biggest on the job interview and the only internal candidate that really had a shot was Ben Johnson, right? That interview was a lot deeper than we let on. Ben was running all the meetings. He was in the staff meetings. He was for all intents and purposes, fully in control of that. He had the passing game, everything. He did basically everything except calling the plays. And as we talked about during the season, there was a lot of collaborative work on play calling.
Yeah. He would solicit when Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes talk about everything being a collaborative effort, the play calling was as well.
And you'll on the headset, some teams are like, shut up, the coach is making the calls. In other ones, like the Lions, it was pretty verbal. There was a lot of talking going on and on what should the call be and coming as in a collaboration. Now, one of the things, again, as we've gone through this and I've studied more and more and more, when Jim Bob Cooter, way back in the day, started as the play caller and took over as offensive coordinator, I watched him very closely at training camp. And when they were running the game time situations, how quickly they start calling that play in, I think people would be surprised. I mean, they're literally getting up from the tackle on the play before, and he's calling in the play. It happens early.
Second and three. Let's go here.
Yep. It's already going in before the players are on their feet. So that happens quickly, and they were working on that then. So, and you know, I know they continue to work on that. Every team does, getting that in there quickly and then being able to communicate and alter if necessary. But they are very, very quick about that. So these guys are talking, they understand, and they have a very, very good, efficient communication style. I think, though, you'll see why some of those timeouts happened because of that collaboration, and they're just getting it together mid-season, making that happen, that some of the times they had to call a timeout because they couldn't get the play in quick enough, and it's just not by design, but it's a result of the design, if you will. So Ben was in there. Ben was working the playbook. He had input. Dan would ask about the plays. This was the most rigorous job interview you can get. Okay. So how did he do? Well, we saw what happened. It was his game plan that beat the Packers. Okay. Ben Johnson did that. So that's something to think about because that was, again, take the second half out of it. If somebody starts telling you about the backups, you played the ones in the first half with our decimated group of players and we beat them. Beat them. Ben Johnson's interview happened, right? Now he's going to have to do an interview and they're going to interview other offensive coordinators. But one thing that happened this last week belies their intentions. And sometimes this happens with Dan. He's still a young guy. And sometimes he says things like the Jamie Collins incident. We didn't get anything for Jamie. Why? Well, because Dan said something and then people knew what was going on. He was asked in his presser about, is he going to be calling plays? Okay. If you're interviewing offensive coordinators, the right answer is, I'm not certain, depends on who we get in here and what how things wind up and how we work this out. The answer, I don't know yet, scares away probably 50% or more of the potential offensive coordinators that may come into the building. If he's going to take 2 weeks to think this out, what does that tell you about them hiring? Because, Riz, when do they want to have an offensive coordinator hired, especially if they're going to be Senior Bowl in 3 weeks?
They're going to have somebody by the Senior Bowl, because the Senior Bowl, one of the things that we've learned over the years, every unemployed coach in America is there begging for jobs. They will beg me and Chris for jobs just so they can put food on their table. It's sad. It's depressing to see guys that you've seen on national television doing great things,
so call
panhandling them, right? To be assistant quality control coaches. And that happens every year. And it's depressing as hell, but it's very real. And the teams hate it just as much. It's awkward. They don't want to do that. Like, oh, hey, man, I coached with you in Miami. Remember, I was your offensive video breakdown guy. And Dan doesn't want that guy coming up to him.
Jim Caldwell was on my plane from Atlanta to Mobile on the way in 2020, right before the coof came around. Yeah. And he, you know, he wound up with his gig, and he wound up saying he looked good and everything. But yeah, I mean, that's what he was there, right? That's what he was there doing. I felt bad for the guy. I like him a lot. But so I think basically what's happening is Ben Johnson becomes the guy. Okay. Now, Senior Bowl gives him a chance and I think that Dan and the Lions had an influence on this. I can't prove this. This is all speculation, and I'll tell you when it is, when we're speculating. But the idea that they're elevating coaches to a position, they started with Deuce in a role saying, we're going to put you to a place where you can be a head coach. What an opportunity to be able to do that right here. Yep. Deuce, you're going to coach the Senior Bowl team. And now think about it. You got a guy like BJ who you're thinking, hey, man, he could be ROC. We don't have one named, maybe. He's acting maybe at that time. I don't know exactly how they're going to do the work, because everybody gets elevated up, right? Maybe he gets elevated to the offensive coordinator role and wins it at the Senior Bowl. So we'll see how that works. He's going to be the next offensive coordinator. Again, this is my speculation, but based on everything we've seen and everything we've heard from Dan himself, Ben Johnson is going to be the next Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, no matter who they interview in the process. Aaron Glenn, is he going anywhere as a head coach this year, Riz?
I very seriously doubt it. He's going to be a candidate. He deserves to be a candidate. Shame. He was a candidate last year. He interviewed for, I think it was the Jets job. Yep. He was not one of their finalists. They are the other Senior Bowl team. Robert Saleh will be down there as well. And we can maybe ask him, like, hey, you're from Detroit. You know, what do you think of the Lions this year? Like, he's from Dearborn, you know.
I think
see what he's got. But,
so here's the thing. Yeah. He was elevated to defensive coordinator. This is the first year he's been elevated to that role. And people will say, well, Mike Tomlin did it in Pittsburgh. You know what? Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft pick that became a Super Bowl winning quarterback. If that's the model you're going to base all of that on, you might be high.
Chase unicorns. Don't chase unicorns. Even if you watch Despicable Me 3, they don't exist.
You might have spent too much money at cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com and gotten the Delta 8 or Active CBD to get yourself a little bit melted into where your skin and the fabric of the chair, you're not sure where one ends and the other begins. It's a great place to go to take care of your head.
Oh, man, I'd love to melt into that chair.
If you just want to get rid of pain, anxiety, or insomnia and not have the high, you can do that with a regular CBD oil. If it's about working out and recovery, you got the great cream that I use all the time sitting right here. Absolutely, I use this. This is awesome for after the workouts. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. And again, Michigan, you can't do the Delta 8. They try to get after it, but the CBD folks are faster than your legislators, and they got Active CBD, which is just as jolly. Works great. Had people tell me, hey, I went and got it somewhere else, and it wasn't as good as the stuff you guys have at Diamond CBD that you get from CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go on over and get yourself taken care of. Take care of your head. All right. Anything else on Ben Johnson that we want to talk about, or offensive coordinator?
Not really. I think we've kind of covered it. Like, I did put something out, on Lions Wire about potential candidates that are from both internal and external. If you read what I wrote there, you'll come away with the conclusion that it's Ben Johnson's job. So, I mean, it is what it
Definitely
is.
Definitely go to Lions Wire and click on all of Risden's articles. He appreciates you.
Please do.
He thinks of you. When you click on it, he says, Oh my gosh, inserting name here is special.
I do feel good. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. We have a mock draft coming too that I have to finish at some point.
It's some of the best coverage, Lions coverage. I mean, look, we talk about it. I'll reiterate anytime anyone will listen, and you guys happen to be listening right now. Justin Rogers, top shelf. Risden, the guys at Lions Wire, top shelf. Why? Because they do great coverage, have great content, but they also treat their people really, really well. Period. End of story. And that's different than the effective slave labor camps that these other blogs run. So check those guys out. Make sure they get credit. And you know,
not everything is done equally. That's mm-hmm. that's a fair assessment. You know, different people have different ways of doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Not right or wrong, just different. Mm-hmm. If you like what I do, thank you. I appreciate that.
I took care of my people. The CBD folks are faster than their legislators. Another reason to go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Speed your ass up. All right, let's see. I have to thank Flounder for the super chat earlier. Sorry, we got off running. I don't know if it was the energy drink or what, but we got hit and I didn't get to hit your super chat. Thank you, Flounder, for that great super chat. Appreciate it. All right, CBD, Diamond CBD season retrospective. If you're thinking about the past, you're thinking about it. Let's talk about this Lions season. And I think we're going to do it as we get deeper in the offseason after the draft. We're going to do the sands through the hourglass thing I talked about and go through the narratives, not just the Lions, but of other teams and how things have shifted and changed. We'll talk about one of the things, and this is probably next week we'll hit this, the fickle nature of coach worship. Riz has a really good.
It's something that I saw firsthand this year. And if you're interested, I did the Locked On Browns podcast this morning with Jeff Lloyd. You might want to check that out because we talked a little bit about it in there too. But it's something, at this time last year, Kevin Stefanski was a god in Cleveland, a god. He was the coach of the year and he deserved it. There are a lot of people in Cleveland now who want him gone. Just be real. We'll break it down a lot more because some of it is warranted. Some of it's not, but just before you're, you know, going and getting, you know, MCDC tattooed on your neck, maybe like step back a little bit. Coaching sensations do happen. Once, remember Josh McDaniels in Denver, how awesome he was. Oh my God. He won a playoff game.
Harbaugh in San Francisco. Back in the Kaepernick
days? Just because he was better than the traveling meat salesman that was Jim Tomsula, who took over from Mike Singletary, who remains the single worst coaching entity I've ever seen.
I forgot about the traveling meat salesman.
I always forget to bring it up because I'm so wrapped up in, like, God, I watched Hugh Jackson. I watched Freddie Kitchens. I watched Matt Patricia. I watched Marty Mornhuweg up close. I always forget that Mike Singletary is worse than all of them, and he absolutely was. Yeah. This is a guy who stopped a practice. They didn't even stop practice. Going out to midfield in the middle of a Shrine Game practice, plays are going on, and he's doing like you know, crunches. I can't even do it in a chair. Doing this, laying on the ground in the middle of practice, and the people are like, that coach does that. That's what he does. Like, I'll never forget a 49ers player told me that Mike Singletary's coaching was like, have you ever seen the Simpsons episode where Homer is trying to climb Mount Springfield and he's got the power sauce bars with Rainier Wolfcastle urging him on, just yelling positive slogans at him all the time?
I snorted because it's so funny.
That's how Mike Singletary's coaching was described to me by an active player. Like, he's Rainier Wolfcastle in that episode, just sounding non sequitur slogans of positivity that have absolutely nothing going on with the action. He did not know names of his own players.
Oh, that's great. That is awesome. That is awesome. Oh, okay. And I will not use that opportunity to knock on a group of supposed people who do it professionally, crying over the firing of an unemployable special teams coordinator. I promise I won't do that. Okay. Let's talk about the season retrospective.
yeah, please. I'm getting choked up here.
Let's use the press conferences as a way to start right now. We talked a little bit about the Goff narrative. We'll probably talk more about that as we get in. But I think the press conferences were a great way to look back at what this season was. Brad Holmes, as you said, did a great job near the end. He said three wins. It was basically his walk-off line, right? Three wins isn't good enough. Three wins is not good enough. He recognizes that. But by the same token, he fully recognizes that they are building something and that they are absolute diamonds in the rough here. They've absolutely found success in the areas that they wanted. And I have to say, this is probably one of the most successful. It's not a tank year. You know, they called it a retool. They didn't go out there to try to lose. They had all kinds of games that they could have won. The talent wasn't there, but they worked off a whole ton of dead cap. We went from what, like 30th or 29th in the league. We're now like 14th in cap space available.
That's correct.
It was a year of austerity and we still performed. And then we were blasted by injuries with Okuda and Jerry and just everybody across the board. Our Warrior at the end of the season. I just let it down there for the people in the back and the person in the front. But it was just people hurt after hurt after hurt. Decker out for a while. Ragnow out for the year, right? Matt Nelson. I mean, think about this, Riz. At the beginning of the season, and this is not a knock on you because we were in full agreement, right? And I was in a little bit of, I'm trying to repress this. This isn't real. This can't be. But the offensive line behind the starters was a dumpster, full of tires on fire, right? I mean, it was all of those things rolled in one. It was terrible.
And then Logan Stenberg got hurt. people, like, he was supposed to be the guy.
They stepped up this year, and I have to. Again, I discovered, and I think we three, Sam and you and I discovered Hank Fraley at the Senior Bowl when the Lions covered that. We knew he was there. We knew he was a coach and what he did. It was that insight watching him work with those kids. He's truly a teacher, right?
He's very hands on. He's not afraid to get down into a stance and show guys, your hand needs to be right here, turned this way and not this way, because of the torque it puts you on your elbow. It's the differential, you know, it changes how your energy is diffused through your body when you're doing it. He knows all the kinesiology and the pyelometrics behind all that. He's really, really sharp at that kind of stuff. There are other good offensive line coaches as well, but what he does,
he truly enjoys teaching these people. Yep. You know, people, I love my job. It's something to love it, but to be that good at it at the same time and to continue to, he's a guy, I'm torn because of how good he is at doing this and what he did with what was that dumpster full of tires on fire and turned into a fully functional offensive line this year, all the way down to Ryan McCollum, who, you know, I hope he has a spot, even if it's just on the practice squad this year, because he's a kid that we've seen. He's had flashes. He has talent. He just needs seasoning. He needs time with Hank and the team.
I saw what happened with I watched Evan Brown. I knew him from Cleveland. He was in Cleveland for a year and a half before this. And when the Lions signed him, I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, he was not good in Cleveland. And by the way, they have a great offensive line coach there in Bill Callahan. Different kind of coach, but a great coach. Mm-hmm. And their offensive line results speak for themselves. But what Hank did with him in molding him into the center that they needed him to be, taking over for the best. Frank Ragnow is the best player on the Detroit Lions, regardless of position.
Yep.
Him or Jack Fox, and center's a hell of a lot more important than punter. Sorry, punters are people too. I get that. But Frank Ragnow is the best player on the Detroit Lions. His Madden rating should reflect that. I don't play Madden. I don't know, but he should have the highest Madden rating of any Lions player. And the fact that you got Evan Brown in there, a guy who was beaten out for the backup center job in Cleveland behind J.C. Treader. Like, the fact that he was good, like, he wasn't just like, he was good. Yep. Like, that's Hank Fraley, man. Yep.
He pulled that group of guys. He is a superstar. My worry is, and Hank is a guy that is going to move up soon. He's a guy that's going to get his next job soon.
I think it will be one of those where he is the offensive line coach / run game coordinator, and then eventually becomes an offensive coordinator.
He's doing that now.
That track.
I think he was doing that this season.
How they keep him this year. If he wants to ever, okay, well, we'll tack on the run game coordinator job. By the way, that's what will happen with Aaron Glenn. He will wind up becoming. He is not the assistant head coach, or is he already the assistant head coach?
No, that's
I don't.
Deuce is the assistant head coach.
Yeah. So they can make him. They'll have to make up some title for him because Deuce isn't giving up his duty.
Or if they want money, to deny money him, helps.
if they want to deny him the right to interview in Denver, they do have to give him a different job title. They have to promote him to say, hey, we think enough about him that, you know, we're not just blocking him, like we're giving him something. That's an NFL rule.
Yep.
I do think that they're going to let him interview. I don't think he's going to get the job. I think that they have their sights on somebody who's going to work with their new quarterback, whoever that might be. And they think, by the way, a lot of people in Denver think that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers coaching there next. And that's not just like the average fan. Aaron There's Rodgers. A lot of people in the Denver media who think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be there.
Okay, not coaching.
You said no, Aaron not Rodgers coaching.
Coaching. I was like,
no, not coaching. But that Aaron will have. This is their delusional pipe dream. I do think it's delusional. By the way, I think he's playing one more year. My delusional hope is that Aaron Rodgers wins the Super Bowl this year and retires.
Where T.O. was at with it, right? He was if Aaron wins the Super Bowl this year, he's done the thing. And the thing is, he's gotten one more than Brett Favre, because Brett Favre is the guy he sat behind. Right. And you know, the ego in Aaron Rodgers, you know, the ego there. Right. And this made so much sense. What T.O. said, he wants to get that forever cements him as the guy. He was better than Favre. He's got the Favre records. He can walk off. He can then retire. He can then go somewhere else. He can do whatever he wants. He owns Green Bay and that's it. And he said, I own you in Chicago. That obviously that ownership means something to him. If he loses this year, T.O. thinks he comes back. T.O. thinks he comes back to try to win it next year. And I was like, you know what, T.O., that really makes a lot of sense.
I agree with that.
So we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. And that'll be interesting. But here's the deal. You got Minnesota and Chicago in their just tailspin. I mean, both without a GM, both without a head coach.
That's the thing. They're both starting
cap,
over.
Just choking on the cap. You get a year of Aaron Rodgers. Even if Aaron Rodgers comes back next year, you only have 1 year of him. You're basically looking to Lions just default to the top of the NFC North in 2 years. That's a pretty crazy place to be.
I don't think the Packers will go away. Even without Rodgers, they'll have to get somebody better than Jordan Love. They can have Tim Boyle back for all I care. But they've drafted so well on both sides of the ball. As he flashes, for those of you doing the audio only portion, he just played his hilarious, hysterical reaction to Jordan Love being drafted once again. By the way, I had that reaction when the Jets took Zach Wilson last year.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
We're gonna do a lot of the retrospective throughout the rest of the off season, but just quick takeaway from the end of the season press conferences was that they're keeping with their plan. Like they saw their plan, they took a lot of lumps doing it. They're not going to deviate from it now. Now that they've seen that it does produce wins, they were 3-3 at the end of the season. They did have two wins over playoff teams, over good teams. Mm-hmm. And other than the Denver game, I think they played pretty well down the stretch. They really did.
They were 500 with Dan Campbell calling plays with Jared Goff in the game. That's damn good for a team of backups. I mean, really. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. They were playing backups.
You saw a lot of guys that were playing on that defense who will not only will they not be Lions, they won't be in the NFL next year. That's a sad reality of it. And there were guys that were getting significant reps on this defense down the stretch who are not future, and they're going to be on practice squads bouncing around from Dallas to Detroit to Miami to Houston. Like that's their lot in their NFL life. And this was their shot to prove that this is their football card. You're like, hey, I got a football card. I played for the Detroit Lions in 2021. You know, they got their time. Some of those guys are going to parlay into something bigger and better, but a lot of them won't. And that's the harsh reality. We're talking about the draft, you know, all excited about all the free agents we can get in. That does mean that a lot of the guys that you saw at the end of the season when the team was tasting success are going to be out of jobs.
Yeah.
But that's life in the NFL. The players know that. And we'll talk to Jerry about that too. But the players absolutely understand that. They understand that's part of the business. And it's the sad reality of it. But for,
I will tell you one of the differences.
They've got to get better. And they understand that they have to.
One of the differences is when we make a hole here, we trade someone, cut them, move them, whatever. we improved the position. The opposite was the fact of what happened with Bob Quinn. He would, Graham Glasgow was an example. He was gone. And what did we bring in? We brought in somebody who didn't do as well for more money. Right. We continued to hamstring ourselves.
Eric Ebron is a great example of that. Did we want Eric Ebron gone? Hell yeah, we did. Did we want somebody better than Jesse James to fill that hole? Hell yeah, we did.
And for the money,
you don't dig a hole without a plan to fill it in.
Yep, exactly. And that's one thing that.
That makes me mad. I'm still bothered. I hate that I have to defend Eric Ebron, but they did that dude wrong.
Well, he didn't do himself very well.
He didn't help himself, but they did that dude wrong, man.
Yep, for sure.
And it hurt the team.
Yep.
We're still paying for the sins of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still paying for it.
I think one of the key things you want to look at is as far as Brad Holmes' ability to find talent is the pickup of Josh Reynolds, a lot of the ability to pick up UDFAs and how well they did this year. Jerry Jacobs is a great, great example of that. Of course, we saw him right after Brad did. We were number one finding that one. And it was right, Riz. I mean, it was about God, that guy's my thing was, is he's so friggin' jacked. Right.
Yeah.
That it's like, I can't see him playing corner because again, when I was, when I was coming up, it was the big V shaped body, right? No one was doing yoga, right? It was just about being big and tough, right? It was the Spielman era, right?
Yep.
Then all of a sudden he flipped his hips and I was like,
yeah.
Ooh. Oh. Jerry.
Oh, he's got that club in the back,
oh,
too.
Okay. Oh, Jerry, I didn't think you could move a body like that. Oh, like that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And I started watching him, and he stood out. He grew on people, and we saw him when they saw him show up. But if you look at all the talent that Brad Holmes moved through this team or into this team this year, the only one that I would say, if you can say bust or miss or whatever, I'm going to say is Anzarike, and I think he just needs time and season. I think he's got a little bit of injury going on. He's got a couple.
And they talked about they basically wanted to make it a redshirt year for him.
Yep.
I quite honestly, in that situation, I would prefer they shut him down because he was awful. There's no two ways other than like he had a 6-quarter stretch in the Pittsburgh game and the first half of the next game where I see it. The rest of the year, he was generally the worst player on the field, certainly in run defense.
Yep.
And that's got to get better because I don't think Michael Brockers is coming back. And you're penciling this guy in. You just spent a second round pick on this guy. You said you were going to use a first on him. Maybe learn from that and don't talk about the players before they play.
Yeah.
Brad, maybe
there you go.
Learn that lesson. But we probably got too excited about Derek Barnes, and that was another one that Brad talked about. Like he's got to get better, but we saw things that we liked. But yeah, we acknowledge that he has to get better.
And where he was picked doesn't make you think that he's going to be an over the top year one kind of starter. He needs some season. Right. He needs some work. It wasn't like it was a first round blow up. And you think of Brad's work in the middle of the draft. You think about his work with the UDFAs. That's really special. You found some good, good talent that you underpaid for. Amon-Ra St. Brown. What an obvious, you look at that. That he's, what was it? Chase is the only guy better this year.
Yeah. Jalen Waller caught more passes, but I would argue that Amon-Ra did better.
Yeah. So we'll give it. We'll say top three in the fourth round. The fourth round, that's an identification of talent. That's really, really well done. So I think what we have now as far as data points from this team and from this front office, as far as talent evaluation, and they did all that, I have to say one more time, almost with no time with their scouting staff. They couldn't roll their people over. They couldn't make changes. They ran with what they had to bring all of that, their stuff in on Bob Quinn's organization. That's pretty impressive to be able to do that well. Campbell talked about it this year. Instead of starting in February, they're able to start in the fall, right? And start doing the work then. This hopefully doesn't lead to overanalysis, right? Because sometimes happen. But right now, if you're thinking about the ability to identify talent, you have to say, you know what? Brad Holmes gets the benefit of the doubt. We'll see what happens this offseason. We'll see what happens in the draft. And then we'll see what happens next season. And we'll have some more data points to use to make better assessments. But at this point, I feel like you have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'm good with that. I overall, I'm happy with what he did. I do think that he deserves probably a little bit more negative scrutiny that he's getting. Like for all the people that are like, oh, Dan Campbell, he's it just Like, I'm a hell of a lot more confident in Dan Campbell than I am in Brad Holmes at this point. It doesn't mean that I'm not confident in Brad Holmes, but I'm...
You have more data on Dan Campbell than you do on Holmes, right? To make a confident decision with. So I think that's a fair assessment. All right, let's get on. We want to get to something really quick here. Well, not quick, but Senior Bowl.
We do have to do this quickly because I do have a date.
Senior Bowl coverage this year.
Yes.
I want to talk about it a little bit because this is something we're bringing... On the team that we're bringing to Mobile this year, over 20 years of Senior Bowl coverage experience. Now, 13 of it, that's what there is, but come on. We're bringing out, we're bringing just a ton of experience here. I admit very openly, my first year there and onward, I've been to the Riz School of Talent Evaluation. I don't want to say this is going to sound wrong at first. It's not that I'm not a disciple of Riz, right? Or that I'm from the Riz tree, I guess, but I am definitely my own thinker. And I think Riz, you'll say, I come up with my own shit. But I've learned a ton from Riz and evaluation going down there and spending the time down there and gotten better and better. I mean, Jerry is probably an example of kind of being able to spot some talent, some positions. I picked out Terry McLaurin before anyone was talking about him. I was out on Andy Isabella because his body catch. I mean, I missed on KJ Hill, who's in San Diego as a slot. I thought he was going to do so much better. I think maybe part of the situation with, Lynn and some of the other stuff going on there might have been part of it, but whatever, right? Whatever. There's other things going on. But
Joe Lombardi is their OC.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why they're home.
The jury's not in yet completely, but I've definitely gotten better. Riz is the Riz. He's got all that. We've got some other talent down there. And on top of it, we're bringing in the experience of producing and putting together great coverage, not just in sitting in the studio doing the stuff from the Hizzy, but on the road, Mobile, and putting a good show together there. We have our spots on Radio Row. We are going to provide some of the best Senior Bowl coverage you've seen out of any Detroit sports media ever. And we do it as a hobby. This is going to be awesome. And now I keep telling people, if you're interested in the Senior Bowl and you're listening right now, probably because you are, and you want to know about, we're going to have the interviews with the team, the players, the people and the other media people, the evaluators and so on. We'll have tons of stuff going on. We're going to do it. It's all going to be on YouTube. It's going to be live. We're probably going to take calls to ask some of the expert stuff. We have all kinds of really cool stuff to put in this year. The thing you need to do is subscribe and hit the bell and make sure your notifications are on. That's the way that you're going to see, because we have no planned schedule for who's coming on when. This is just going to be Campbell, come here. Coach, come here.
It will be a situation where the Lions will come to us and like, hey, do you want Hank Fraley in 5 minutes? Yes, we do.
Yes.
That's how Senior Bowl works.
yes. And this is...
Do we want the Hooters girls with Matt Patricia? Yes, we do.
can we leave Patricia's sister behind?
Yes.
But that is what happened, right? We had the Hooter girls and Matt Patricia suddenly. I'm not doing this to get subscribers and that kind of stuff. And we could sit here and do this every show. Oh, subscribe to the show. I'm telling you, if you care about the Senior Bowl and you want to see these interviews and you want to see these people in their natural habitat and see these things and the breakdowns of the conversations and potentially have a chance to call in and talk to them, you want to know when we're going live. And the only way to do that is to set up the subscribe and the bell and notifications. That's it. You guys know I don't beat your brains in on this stuff. This is not what we do. That's not, we don't put the subscriber goal on the screen. We just put together a show and hope people like it, right? So I'm just telling you what you need to do.
Thank you for not putting the subscriber goal thing up there, by the way. I
hate that. So weak. Such a simpy move. All right. So there you go. The Senior Bowl. This is it. Whole thing. That's good. Oh, and on top of it, if you're running around and you can't get a hold of YouTube, listen to WWJ in the afternoons. We will be doing hits. Riz and I will be doing hits on WWJ in Detroit, WWJ Radio. And we'll be providing their sound bites and information from the Senior Bowl as well. So we got some good stuff going with them. It is for real, folks. This is a couple. I hate to say that we do it as a hobby because we take it more seriously. You do it as a
real this is my job,
right? But I mean, I treat it like a job. You know what I mean?
I know you do. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here is because you do take it seriously and professionally. You're not just, doing this, for fun. Like you do this for fun, but you care enough that you're passionate about it. You pour yourself into it. And that's why we're here. That's why we're going to Mobile.
Yeah.
Like if this was just some hobby thing, We wouldn't have the board that you have. We wouldn't have the video cameras that you have. We wouldn't have some of the guests that we're probably going to be getting from Mobile and perhaps before as well, if you didn't take this seriously and treat it like it's a second job for you.
No, I appreciate it. It very much is it's important to me. It's grown out of, it grew out of like we're doing it. We've told the story during the St. Jude show. It was sort of a lark, and we did it because it was a way to give back to the Reddit community. And then everybody started listening, and it became a responsibility, but a responsibility in a good way. And it's kind of how I'm wired, and that's why we innovate and we continue to try to get better. And you see the people just follow. So that's that. Speakeasy Sports, Chris, do you do radio? I did it. I was on the air in Detroit years ago, and decided. Well, learned quickly that radio is a crazy
She's
monster.
A fickle mistress.
Fickle mistress. That's what I was looking for. Thank you. And decided I had to go out and go to school and get a real job and all that kind of stuff. But I've always had an itch to do something, and the podcast helped do that. And it's kind of grown into something I think is kind of special. So there you go. All right. With that, I know Riz has to run. We got that covered. No look ahead to another team's Senior Bowl coverage. We will start talking prospects next week. We will start talking the fickle nature of coach worship a little more in depth next week. We've got a lot of stuff to get done ahead of the Senior Bowl for you guys. So don't miss us. We're also going to start getting back to the vlog stuff. We're going to put some of these things together and just some individual shorter form thoughts and get that stuff out for you guys. There's going to be a lot of this stuff. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fire hose during Senior Bowl, and we'll do some live from the Loda.
The Loda Beer Garden. My bacon double cheeseburger with king cake donuts as buns.
That's right. We will do some live.
Oh, I can't wait to eat that. It's so good.
Some live experiential stuff as well. You guys are going to love what we've got. I'm telling you, it's going to be a riot. We want you to be there with us, and that's how we'll do it. All right. With that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much. Floundericious. Are you going to show Russ Scavenge? Are you going? Are y'all going to show a rough schedule of the Senior Bowl as part of your preview? It'll be really rough.
We don't
rough.
Really know where that's going to be at, just like because they've moved to stadiums first off, and the new stadium is nowhere close to where everything else is. So the and Mobile, by the way, they do not sync the lights on any of their roads. So it is a 10-mile drive that will absolutely take us at least an hour, if not more. Yep. Just because of the traffic and the fact that Mobile doesn't believe in syncing the lights on their streets. You stop at every freaking light on every street. That's how they do it.
And there's no locking up the equipment on Radio Row. So it's a pack up and break and open up every day. So we open up in the morning. We do a bunch of stuff. We go to the two practices. Then we blast back to the Radio Row. We reset up again, do a couple interviews, conversations, show, close it back down, go out for the night. We'll have some live shows. That's basically the best we're going to get as a schedule.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We'll do live everywhere. We're not on Radio Row.
Might catch a vlog from Veets at 2:45 a.m. with
y'all get one drink. Quote Jerry Jones. All right. Remember, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get access to the Slack. And you're only going to get access for a dollar very shortly. By the time we get to the Senior Bowl, we've got to up that to $5. There's some changes that happen that we have to get. But there's all kinds of Chris Dust and insider stuff that happens there. Yep. They hear way more than we even let out on the show. It's a great place to go. Great people. Great place to agree to disagree. Some of the best Lions conversation you find anywhere on the internet. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Twitter. At DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, and of course, at Jeff Risden for the Lions Wire and everything else. At Jeff Risden. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Leave a message. We'll get your message on the air. You can be mega famous. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast so we can do just what we like to do, Riz.
We can come into your ear holes automatically.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs. No problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.